We are already on the sixth day of our liturgical novena in honor of Father Francis. And some of the technical problems we're running into remind me of the days of trying to record Father Francis's preaching. Maybe you know, we're having trouble with our sound system. It happened on Saturday. We had trouble with the speaker outside and the speakers in here. And then Monday, everything worked. But yesterday, there was no audio for the live stream. And here we had feedback, and now the operator just told me that it doesn't seem that there's any audio on the live streaming. So if anybody's joining us, all they can do is watch. They can't see. Anyway, when back in the days of trying to record Father Francis, we were always having technical problems. The batteries would die, or the connections wouldn't work, or the microphone would fall off, or the tape would get jammed up, or whatever. It was constantly happening. And since it's happening now during this novena in his honor, I think he's probably chuckling about it. Yes, it's always, we'll do our best and we work hard, but we have to accept the imperfections, the trials of life. And we also have to recognize that when it comes to technical things that are in association with the proclamation of the word, there's also spiritual enemies at work. Now, I'm not saying there's demons in the system, but you never know in the spiritual battle, what's going on when you're talking about invisible things, electricity and wireless connections and all this sort of stuff. Oh, it's the realm of spiritual forces as well. Okay, so we're doing our best, just so you know, we're doing our best to try to fix the problems. Now, let's turn to the liturgy. We started this week with that parable where Jesus spoke about the two sons who were asked to go into the vineyard. One said yes, and he didn't go, and the other one said no, but he went. So we were instructed from the very beginning of the week that there's more to following Jesus than simply saying we'll follow him. We actually have to do it. We have to put into practice what we say. And the perfect model of doing what we say, of firm determination to live out the will of the Father, the perfect model is Jesus himself. That's why we reflected quite a bit yesterday on Jesus' resolute determination to go to Jerusalem. He set his face to go to Jerusalem. That's the model. When you know the will of God, be determined to do it. Well, this gospel today is the next verses in Luke chapter 9, and he's on his journey to Jerusalem, and someone comes up and says, I will follow you wherever you go. They're beautiful, beautiful. Sounds like this man has the same resolute determination to do the will of God. And perhaps every one of us here says this to God in his or her heart, I will follow you wherever you go. I'm determined to follow you, Lord. Jesus' response to him is not to discourage him, but to help him understand the cost of discipleship. He says, it's a little bit surprising that he brings up the foxes and the birds, but this is what he says. Foxes have dens, birds of the sky have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to rest his head. As if he's saying, being my follower is not the same as being a creature of this world. Like the foxes and the birds, they belong here. I don't belong here. And if you're going to follow me, you're not going to belong to this world. You're not going to have a place where you can be comfortable and secure. Do you think I'm going to live in a comfortable five-star hotel? No, I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to the cross. That's what I think he means by saying, I talk about the foxes and the birds and having nowhere to rest his head. Meaning, of course he has a place to rest his head. Everybody lies down somewhere, but he's not possessed by this world. He transcends this world, and he relates to it in a transitory way. I'm not going to stay here forever. This isn't my real home. I think that's what he's saying to us. Yes, we have homes, we have places to sleep, but not forever. We're not going to be here forever. Okay, others are involved in this discernment of what it means to be a disciple. He calls one to follow, and the man says, well, let me go and bury my father. And then Jesus responds with this very disturbing, shocking reply, let the dead bury their dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Which sounds to us like, dump your poor deceased father on the side of the street and go off as an evangelist, which is really disturbing. I don't think that's what Jesus is saying. I don't think he's saying just abandon dead people. I don't think he's saying be irresponsible when it comes to care of your loved ones or your parents. No. But he is saying the will of God has the top priority, even above our obligations to our family members. Yes. Well, we look at Jesus' own example. Did Jesus abandon Joseph? No. According to the tradition, Jesus is the one who accompanied Joseph to his death and burial, Saint Joseph. But remember what happened when he was 12 years old. When Jesus was 12 years old, he stayed in the temple and said, don't you know, I have to be about my father's business. I have to be in my father's house. He wasn't talking about Joseph that time. So he was saying, I'm going to do the will of the Father, even as a 12-year-old. But after that incident where he established the priorities, the Father's will first, then everything will follow. After he established the priorities, he went back to Nazareth and he was obedient to them. So he fulfilled the commandment, honor your father and your mother. He didn't abandon his parents. And so we know, at least the tradition is that he accompanied Saint Joseph to the very end. He didn't accompany Mary to the very end. He died before his mother died. But he didn't abandon her either. He didn't abandon the will of the Father, and he didn't abandon his mother. To abandon the will of the Father, he would have said, well, I can't die here. I've got a widowed mother with no children. I have to stay here and take care of her. He didn't say that. That's the natural tendency. And this statement, let the dead bury their dead, is to cut into that natural tendency to think, I'm responsible for my relatives, no matter what God wants. No. What God wants comes first. But Jesus from the cross says to the beloved disciple, behold your mother. He entrusts his mother to his disciple. He cares for her, which we know is, yes, taking care of Mary, but also much, much more. It's the revelation of Mary's spiritual motherhood, and we've talked about that in other times. We can't go into that here. My point is, Jesus is the model of fulfilling the will of the Father and the model of proper respect for our parents. Yes, both. But doing the will of God takes the top priority. That's what, and Jesus is deliberately disturbing us by making sure that that priority is enunciated clearly. And then the last one in this gospel says, I'll follow you, but let me say farewell to my family. And Jesus says, no, you can't say yes and then say no with your actions. You can't say I'm going to follow you, and you can't set your hand to the plow and then keep turning around. Put God first. Be resolutely determined to follow the course the Lord calls you on. Don't keep looking back. It's a very funny thing, I find, this kind of language about putting God first disturbs people so much, when in the secular world, in the very common course of people's lives, people are often leaving their families. It happens in the Philippines all the time. People go off to other countries. They leave their family, they leave their parents, they go off to another country. When their parents die, sometimes they can't come back. Hey, you have an example of it right here. I mean, your brothers and sisters couldn't come back. And no one thinks, oh, that's a dishonor to the parents. That's just life. You can't always do everything. And so it's in the Philippines, it's very acceptable. It's a hardship. It's a grief. But it's acceptable that sometimes people can't be there because you're working abroad. Okay, so if people can accept it on the natural level, why do people not accept it for the kingdom? For the kingdom. Today's saint, Francis of Assisi, he's a famous case of abandoning his father. You know the story of when he had his conversion and he started giving away things that actually belonged to his father. And his father said, wait a minute, you can't be ruining my business because you think this is, you know, charity. And so he went before the bishop. I think the father told him reported him to the church. My son is going crazy, giving away all my stuff. And St. Francis, standing before the bishop, takes off all his clothes. Said, well, okay, if my father wants all my clothes, okay. And he's standing there in the public square, naked. He said, well, I belong to God. It was his way of saying, my father doesn't have the absolute claim on me, on what I do. I belong to God. Now, he wasn't deliberately offending his father, but he was putting his father and his family and all his natural ties in second place, putting God in first place. St. Francis, who has inspired the church ever since, St. Francis, who has shown us that the way to journey as a disciple is in poverty, in detachment from the things of this world. Francis doesn't say, you have to be poor and that's part of the burden. He says, no, be poor because that will set you free to follow the Lord. It's joyful poverty. It's willing poverty. It's this detachment, this freedom. Freedom to follow the Lord. Freedom to put God first. That's St. Francis. He's a joyful poor man, a little poor man. Maybe a little bit ironic, but also true, St. Francis is seen as the patron of care for the environment. Because he recognized that all things belong to God and that our use of them is to be done according to the will of God. So it's right. But he didn't glorify the environment. He didn't make a god out of environmental issues, which is what is happening in our times. Sometimes people are claiming that the most important thing in life is to take care of the environment. No, the will of God is the most important thing. And we take care of the environment according to the will of God. So to claim that St. Francis is an environmental idolater is crazy. He's an example of how to do the will of God and according to the will of God, respect creation, sun and moon, all the animals, plants. So let's ask St. Francis to teach us how to be a follower of Jesus, a poor follower, an obedient follower, a follower who knows how to take care of his family and who knows when not to submit to the demands of the family, a follower who lives in joyful detachment from the things of this world and therefore can be an instrument of God's kingdom in the world. So we pray that when we pray the prayer of St. Francis, no, make me an instrument of your peace. Make me a channel of your peace. And the only way that can happen is if we are resolutely determined to follow the Lord ourselves.